Hour number two of, yes, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Did the old switcheroo today. DVD was earlier, 9 to noon. We'll be on from noon to 3 today and tomorrow. Jake Lyman, D-Mace, going 3 to 6 in for Jared. On Wednesday, we go back to the 9 o'clock start, going to noon. DVD will go noon to 3. And then we've let Rex Road and Kuharski take over the afternoon show 3 to 6 just because I felt like it. It was going to be fun. Adam Vingan will co-host with Robbie Stanley in the mornings. And then on Thursday, it is Robbie and Rex Road, me and Joe, Willie and D-Mace, and then Adam and Jake in the afternoons. And then Jared's back. Everything's back to normal on Friday, so I had to think through that for a second. Big Joe will be along here in just a few minutes as he had a speaking engagement at the Waffle College. So we'll get a full report on that and how that went. And then Dr. Crane is back behind the glass. We're not going to talk about the debate we just had during the break because that is literally a July topic. But it was a fun one. But how you doing, Dr. Crane?
I'm great, Chase. I was telling Jim and Woody earlier when I walked in, I was like, this is a weird kind of schedule because I woke up at my normal time, did my morning routine. I was ready to go out the door by 7:15. I was like, wait a minute. Let me find other stuff to do. So I did and ended up making sauce with my mom before I left for work. So.
Nice. Yeah, I liked it too. It was kind of nice getting going and having a little time just to – you know, do whatever before having to come in. So today's kind of been an interesting media day when it comes to sports. Rich Eisen, it was announced earlier that he's coming back to ESPN where he spent the first part of his career before going to the NFL Network. He's still going to do some stuff with the NFL Network, but ESPN's doing a new direct-to-consumer type app, and he's going to have his show on there. So a similar deal like McAfee has where it'll be Eisen's show but be on ESPN. So I thought that was cool. But then the one that got my attention, and I will let you play the clip, that I saw, and as a kid growing up in the 90s, you know, hearing the round ball rock back with the NBC, I mean, I was already excited about that. But the NBA on NBC made this announcement. It says, I'm back. Get your line.
Hey, everyone. So I can't be with you all today at Radio City. I am so excited to see the NBA back on NBC. The NBA on NBC was a meaningful part of my career, and I'm excited about being a special contributor to the project. Looking forward to seeing you all when the NBA on NBC launches to soccer.
So how about that? Michael Jordan is going to be what they're calling a special contributor to the NBA on NBC. I'm going to be honest, I never thought I would see him do that because he had, I don't know, he had kind of had a love-hate relationship with basketball and had, you know, he's been doing the NASCAR thing. But you remember a few weeks ago we had NASCAR reporter Jamie Little on and she was talking about that they had been like, look, he's off limits, he doesn't want to talk and all that stuff when in fact he's wanted to and he's done a lot of interviews and kind of opened up and stuff. So it does kind of feel like as he's gotten older, he wants to kind of be back in the spotlight a little bit more. I think this is a huge get for NBC because ESPN had already announced that they had gotten the rights to Inside the NBA and those guys. The fact that Jordan's going to, whatever special contributor means, I think is going to be cool.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Special contributor. Like, to me, if it's the TNT broadcast they do with hockey, they have Gretzky on with the rest of the panel, I think that'd be huge if they had Michael Jordan in that sort of fold. Because I don't know what it is about those athletes, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Peyton Manning. They're all I guess, higher status, but it's almost like it's a rare occasion to see them in the spotlight, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and like my thing, you bring up the, like, I was texting Robbie about this over the weekend. The NHL on TNT, Turner Sports coverage, is fantastic. Like, I love the panel. They had Rick Tockett in there over the weekend, who was originally on it before he went back into coaching. It's looking like he's going into coaching again. So he was on over the weekend. But, you know, Biz and Ace and Liam McHugh does a great job anchoring that. And then they got Hank in there doing his thing. Gretzky's in there from time to time. I just think it's entertaining. It's like inside the NBA. And I don't think, you know, like Gretzky's not the best at it. But because of who he is, that obviously carries a lot of weight. And he fits well with that panel because I think they pick up some of his deficiencies. You know, you could just tell he's not as well comfortable on being, you know, being on the camera and all that stuff. But I love what, you know, they're doing here. Bring Jordan in, use Jordan. And then you think about it, you got Brady doing football. The Mannings are doing the Manning cast. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is doing NASCAR. Now Jordan, Gretzky. You got the inside the NBA guys, which, you know, I think are great with Shaq and Kenny and Charles or Chuck. So I think it's cool to see. So my question is, what's the next great athlete you want to see do TV or radio?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I don't know.
Because look, not everybody's going to be good at it. Right. Not everybody has the personality. But then you got guys like Pat McAfee, who is a punter, who was an okay punter in the National Football League, he just wrestled a match for WWE over the weekend. He's made this huge name for himself, and I think does a really good job. You got some coaches, like I think Saban's pretty good at it. I think, honestly, Belichick should have just done this and been done with coaching, but we'll see how that all works out at North Carolina. But then you have guys that just aren't good at it, and that's okay. They have to try it. But, you know, I look at, like, is LeBron going to do media?
I could
see it or I could not see it.
The thing that I don't understand about, like, all these marquee players, especially Jordan, he's in this tax bracket. They have lifetime deals with Nike. I mean, he has his own brand of Jordan, but it's through Nike. I mean, LeBron has his own lifetime deal through Nike. Why go into media? Like, you've made enough money. Like, you know, I wouldn't say save it for other people like me, but I mean, come on now, like find other outlets. I mean, I hate to be rude that way, but find other outlets to work in that. I mean, and I want to go back to Michael Jordan real quick, being some sort of special analyst in some regard for NBC. Looking at that, I think will bring in more of the older demographic that grew up with the Jordan era, and I think will bring back more of the NBA of old in the 80s and 90s, because I didn't grow up with Michael Jordan, but I appreciate his work ethic, mentality, going for basketball, and it kind of helped sculpt the future of basketball today.
I think Ricky just texted me, so I'll give him credit for this. I think LeBron goes right into ownership. I agree. I think he does too. I think he's going to have ownership of the Lakers and do that, you know, but I don't see him jumping into the media. He could, but somebody texted in Tiger. I don't know if Tiger has the personality, because he would really have to let loose and open up, and he doesn't like to do that.
I will say about Tiger, I've seen YouTube videos about him doing, you know, just walkthroughs and how to really sculpt your swing, especially with guys like Scottie Scheffler or Xander Schauffele or whoever it may be. He's done some stuff with the TGL, and then, you know, they have that very immersive interaction with the desk along with the player on the field.
And he was good at that. I'll give you that. Right. He did kind of let loose and open up on that. Yeah. So that I'll give you. But Tiger would be an interesting one. Nevada Josh says Barry Sanders. That'd be interesting.
He's done some stuff with NFL Network, hasn't he?
Dustin says, I love it. Jordan's going to call these young guys out so often. He probably will.
That is kind of what I'm thinking. It's a refreshing feeling because inside the NBA, especially Charles Barkley did so with that, and along with Shaq, they call players out from time to time. They were very, you know, fun and interactive with it. But with Michael Jordan, I could see it being more of a statement purpose when he says stuff about players now.
Steven from Hendersonville, Shel Sonnen is a color commentator for anything. I love Shel Sonnen. It could be the German forklift championship airing at 4 a.m. on ESPN 8, and I tune in to listen to him.
He's
great.
He's hilarious, and he does such a great job with UFC as well.
Dylan says, I'd like to see Spurrier on a college football panel regularly. I don't know about that.
Put him on with the SEC Network. That's, I think, would be his just bread and butter. He fits that just, not demographic, but he just fits that just atmosphere of the SEC Network. It's very fun, energetic. It just, to me, SEC football screams guys like Steve Spurrier.
James says, Paul Pierce is great on the NBA. I think he does okay. He's not bad. Nevada Josh also says Marshawn Lynch, Mike Vick, or Warren Sapp. Vick did a little bit. Sapp did it before he had some issues, I think.
Briefly.
Yeah.
It was a very short stint.
I don't know. I don't know about Marshawn. I want to think he'd be good at it, but I don't know.
He fits the McAfee audience. I think that's your best bet with a guy like Marshawn Lynch. He just has that unfiltered just – voice. I mean, that's the best way to describe him. He's unfiltered. A lot of people love that stuff. They love the unfiltered locker room talk. But at the same time, look at a guy like Michael Vick, who did a pretty decent job with Fox when he was, you know, an analyst. So, I mean, they all have their own, you know, ways to do things. But Marshawn definitely fits a McAfee atmosphere.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What next great athlete do you want to see on TV or radio? A lot of your answers are coming in on our text line. We'll get to those. You can also tweet at ChaseOnGame at 1025 The Game as well. Big Joe to join here in just a little bit. It is Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Here a little bit later on a Monday, 1025, 1063 The Game. Ah, yes. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Little Like Mike, the Gatorade commercials back in the day. It's nostalgia, man. It feels good. MJ's back. It's just how we all feel. Big Joe will be here in just a second. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Asking this question, what next great athlete do you want to see enter the media world, TV, radio, as Michael Jordan will be a special contributor to the NBA on NBC, as we found out earlier today. And a lot of good answers coming in. My buddy Ricky says Joey Votto, who just recently retired from baseball. Votto would be fantastic because he's got personality. He was always good in media settings. I think that David James just made – is he still back there? Just made a good one. David, who'd you just say?
Draymond Green.
Draymond Green. I mean, he does the podcast already. He's controversial. He's got personality. Draymond would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
I mean, off the top of my head, Albert Pujols is kind of already doing it now with the MLB Network.
Yeah.
But – any other sports, nothing's really kindling into the brain a little bit. I mean, there are a lot of former soccer players that I think that should be really good at, you know, doing sports analyst stuff on TV. But, I mean, they're all European stuff. So, I mean, they're kind of already doing that. Nothing comes in my brain, honestly.
Yeah.
Just Albert.
You know who does it? I mean, it's not as big of a scale, but, like, I think TJ Houshmandzadeh does a good job with it. I mean, I know he wasn't, like, a huge superstar, but, you know, well-known for sure. Let's see who could be, I would actually be, I know Joe would argue this. I'd be okay if Peyton did more. Cause I just think Peyton has the personality for it.
Yeah. He knows how to work the TV.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because he's gotten used to the, you know, I guess comedy aspect of it all, where it's very kind of locker room-ish, but still professional, kind of with the Manning cast. Give him as an analyst. I mean, I think Tom Brady and Peyton Manning obviously have different personalities. Switch Brady where Manning is now for the Manning cast.
I agree.
I think that would fit Tom better.
And I think Tom would be better in studio.
Yeah, on like a panel.
Like because that day that they actually did this, that it was Brady, Gronkowski, and Edelman all together, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, because Edelman has, you know, some of the personality. Gronk is Gronk, obviously.
And so you have the rest of them, like Jimmy and Howie and all of them. So
So, I mean, I think, you know, like CBS has done this where they had Matty Ice doing games and then they moved him to the studio. Or was it vice versa? I think it was the other way. I think he's now in studio and I think he's better at that. And I think they're putting Watt's going to do games. So, you know, I mean, it's sometimes you have to experiment with it and kind of figure out what works and what doesn't. But I think it's interesting. Weston Hermitage says, I think Ric Flair would be awesome. I don't know.
That's a loose cannon.
I don't know. That might be a paid subscription, so you wouldn't have to worry about the FCC. Got to vote for Terry Francona, George Brett. Both could be interesting. Francona's done a little bit, I think. Dustin and Hopkinsville, Antonio Brown. Again, I don't know about that. Nevada Josh, Allen Iverson and Marshawn Lynch would be funny as an R-rated show.
That would be that'd be a paid thing. I would not have to have that on TV.
Let's see. 2221 does not like McAfee. Hot take: McAfee isn't funny or good, and the shtick takes away from real analysis. Him on game day is okay, but I get tired of listening to him just yell stupid stuff throughout the show. Give him a couple of segments. So I think here's the thing on McAfee. Because I understand why you would say that. I think McAfee is generational, and that's it. Like, younger people, and I'm probably on the fringe of this, because I think younger people probably like him, older people don't. And I think what College Game Day's tried to do is counteract that with Saban. So you have Saban, who's kind of the old school, the coach. He's going to get some of the older audience, and McAfee's going to probably bring in some of the younger audience.
Yeah, and it's a great mix. Like,
yeah, I fall in the middle.
Yeah, and I think before McAfee went to ESPN, he had his show on Sirius, and it was just I think it was more authentic then. I'm not saying it's not authentic now, but he's had to, I think, curate his show to the guidelines of ESPN.
Yeah. Dylan says, I think Jimmy Johnson, Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon would be cool to see on TV. Dale Jr.'s doing it. Gordon did it, and then he took over, and I didn't think he was great at it. Then he's running Hendrick Motorsports. Jimmy's done a little bit. Jimmy, I think, could be good at it.
What would you say is the next NASCAR analyst that's currently driving?
That's a good question. Keselowski, maybe. Joey Logano will whenever he's done. I mean, he's doing some of it now, but, I mean, he's for sure – maybe Kyle Busch.
I was about to ask, do you think you could see Kyle Busch in a suit and
maybe,
tie?
Maybe. He's done a little bit of it. If he lets himself be himself and they let him be himself, then I think he'd be good at it. But Joey Logano, hands down, will do it for sure. 0247, I believe Happy Gilmore would be excellent in the golf world. Pac-Man Jones.
Oh, boy. Imagine having him on a radio call.
7701 John Cena. See, if he lets his personality come out, he would be fine. Nevada Josh now saying Derek Carr needs a new job. We haven't talked about that, but Derek Carr announcing his retirement over the weekend.
I want to get your thoughts on this, Chase. Like, there's so many former athletes now, especially in the NFL. Ovi'd be great playing Bands and Make Her Dance on TV. That'd be something. But, like, there's so many NFL, former NFL athletes, like, especially CBS, for example, Matt Ryan, J.J. Watt, Nate Burleson. Like, you keep on going, then you add, you know, former coaches along with that. There's too many. Like, the panel is going to be a long, long island of just people. Like, you're gonna have to do a giant wide shot of the camera on TV. Like, at what point do you say, like, the buck stops here, we got to find a different outlet for you guys?
So you're saying, like, they have,
I think it's overpopulated with former athletes as analysts.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. A lot of these networks are very loyal to the older guys that have been doing this for a while, and with all due respect, probably don't need to do it anymore. Like Jimmy Johnson just retired. I have an immense amount of respect for Jimmy Johnson, the coach. It was time. Lee Corso's retiring. It was time. I think Terry Bradshaw, it's time. Howie, I think, still does a good job. You can tell, because the problem is, I can tell that they're not keeping up with it to the extent that some of the recently retired guys are. I think there's room for an older coach or, you know, someone that's been around for a while, but they're definitely, you know, you got to mix it in. Now the problem is they're not finding the personalities as easily as maybe they did back in the day, that you had the Terry Bradshaws and, you know, outside of his other things. Like, OJ was good at it. Like, he had that, you know, the Theismans, John Madden, obviously, was the gold standard. So it's not maybe as easy to find those guys nowadays. But I think the reason that, you know, the panels are – there's too many of them is they just – like, they let – you know, and Boomer, I think, was still good at it. I don't know why they got rid of Boomer. But Phil Simms, he was kind of bland, in my opinion. But they kept him on out of loyalty and, you know, finally made the move, I guess, after his contract ran out. So I think to that point, they just – they have to have those tough discussions and say, all right – who's better at this, Rob Gronkowski or Terry Bradshaw? My personal opinion, I think if he's coached right, Gronk can be really good at it.
That's fair.
So that's kind of how I look at it.
That's fair. I mean, I probably still lean Terry Bradshaw. I think there's something, not just Terry Bradshaw's personality, but I don't think Gronk, like you're saying, if he had the lessons and learned about it, sure, probably the next ace in the hole. But as for right now, I still got to stick with Terry on that one.
I was waiting for somebody to bring this up. Dustin in Hopkinsville says Taylor Lewan could leave Bussin and do NFL instantly. I don't know, because I think Taylor is it's his personality that may not translate to just, you know, doing the NFL on Fox. Do I think he'd be good as an analyst? Sure, but I don't think you'd get what you're used to getting out of him, you know, because it's linear television, and so that's kind of my thing with him.
Yeah, and
I think Taylor does a great job where Taylor is.
Yes, there's a time and place for everybody, and especially there's everybody is so enamored with this locker room talk podcast style format that there's like, oh, we're gonna bring that to TV. That'll drive in more viewership. It doesn't. You got to stick to the format. If it works in this setting, keep it in that setting. Don't try to translate it to the television.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to your calls and texts on this coming up next. Plus, Big Joe will join the fray, and we'll reset our question of the day. It's Chase and Big Joe later in the afternoon. We're on until 3 o'clock today here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
For the Jags, third down and 7. And they're coming. Pozlesny and Smith. Mariota out of it, and he can fly. Plenty for a first. Plenty more to the 40. Mariota's got his eyes on the end zone. Can he finish at the 30? The 20? 10? 5? Touchdown, Mariota! 87-yard run.
Was that from his rookie year? Very nice. Our question of the day that we have thrown out there is, which franchise rookie quarterback record does Cam Ward have the best chance to break? And when Big Joe gets settled, he's just walked into the studio. I will throw out these records and see if he's heard them, if he can guess who the record holder is. Hi, JoJo.
Hey, good.
How are you?
I listened on the drive back from Lebanon. And
how was the Waffle College? I know you were speaking there.
It's good. Pursue your dreams. You'll get grease on you, but never quit. Also, if you are a cook at a Waffle House, you're required to fight one customer a week. So make sure you do that. Nice. You're good to go.
Now, where were you really?
I was speaking, very honored and humbled to speak to the Habitat for Humanity of Nashville. They have a big luncheon out in Lebanon today, so it was good. Packed house. Always good to talk to the people. And the story for Habitat is second chances, opportunities, overcoming this and that. And so it is a wonderful, wonderful organization. And our world's a better place because Habitat's around.
Okay, so I'm going to kind of make this a catch-all segment for you because we've had a couple of different things that we've batted around today so far. Hard to believe we're halfway through the show.
Crazy, right?
Crazy. First, the topic that we were just having with the NBA on NBC announcing that Michael Jordan would be a special contributor to their coverage beginning this fall. Who's the next great athlete that you would want to see do media?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I was reading, listening to you on the way in. That's a good question. Oh, gosh. There are, you know.
We've had a few, like, maybe this will help.
Well, I go back. Like, when Joe Montana retired, he did it, right, for 1 year, and he quit. You know why he quit? Didn't like criticizing people who played quarterback.
Right.
So there's a lot of great athletes who I think they would do it, but wouldn't do it because of that.
Yeah.
But my goodness. LeBron?
See, I don't know. I think LeBron could be like that if he don't want to criticize his friends. Plus, like Ricky said, I think he goes into ownership. Like, I think he's going to own the Lakers.
Nah, she's not giving that up.
Or a part of it.
You know who she's married to? Jeannie Buss?
The GM. Or No. They were. Who's she married to now?
The comedian Jay Moore.
Really?
Yes.
That's random.
So, guys out there, you have a chance at marrying rich, beautiful women. If Jay Moore can do it, we can do it.
So, 7701, or Johnny from Mount Juliet said George Kittle. George Kittle will absolutely do something. Now, he may do something similar to like the Bustin' with the Boys guys, but
yeah,
he will do something.
And I heard you talk about the Taylor Lewan. There's nowhere Taylor Lewan can do that without having the bleep button.
Yeah.
I would want to listen to Taylor Lewan for more than 2 minutes.
I think Taylor's good at what Taylor's doing. Like, yeah. I don't think Taylor would be good at calling games with Taylor Zarzar.
Like, no, not at
or
all.
Or Mike Keith. You know, like, I don't think that's his role. That's not a knock at Taylor. I just don't think that's
– I agree.
That's his role, so to speak. Jameis Winston, I could see Jameis doing some stuff.
So what's Jordan? Is he going to be like once a month?
I don't know. They haven't really specified what special contributor means yet, but he's going to do something like that.
I would love to see him break down game situations, not necessarily players, but like, hey, when I did this, what happened? Or they should do this coming up. That's what made Romo so good, was the fact he would call the play before the play ran. Like, oh, the insight he had on there, which is great.
For the my NBA guys behind the glass, what about Klay Thompson? Somebody just brought that up on the text line.
Well, the other person back here is gone.
He's gone?
Why not Klay Thompson? Yeah, sure, he's a good three-point shooter. I think he'd be able to analyze outside the perimeter.
How about this question? Who do we need to get out of the booth?
Well, so Dr. Crane just brought that up about, like, the analysts in the studio. And, like, my problem is they're hanging on to some of these older guys way too long. Like, all due respect to Lee Corso, he should have retired 10 years ago.
Easily. Didn't CBS bounce Boomer and Phil Sims?
They did. So they got them. Jimmy Johnson just retired from Fox. Bradshaw needs to retire. And all due respect. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
But the funniest part of that show is he messing up. And they all laugh.
Now, somebody like Howie Long, I think, is still paying attention and doing a good job and stuff. But it is time to get some of the newer guys – that are more recently retired in there.
But are you talking the role of the special contributor? Like, Jordan, are you talking actual color commentator?
I'm talking about anything. It can be a color analyst, can be an in-studio analyst, can be a special contributor,
I heard
whatever.
Somebody mention George Brett earlier, and Chase knows this story. Dr. Crane, do you know why George Brett missed a game in the World Series in 1980 versus the Royals? I mean, versus the Phillies?
I do not.
He had hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
Really?
True story. Mm. He missed a World Series game because he had hemorrhoids.
Yep.
Bless his heart.
Yep. Right. Let's go to Robert real quick on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyAudio.com. Robert wants to comment on this. What's up?
How y'all doing, guys?
We're good.
Joe, did you have a good trip? Go down and see the grandbaby?
You know, as I tell – thank you for asking. As I tell people, when you got a grandkid, the first one, it's not emotional. It's overwhelming. So thank you.
Good. All right. Well, look, in pro football, as an analyst, I think Travis Kelce, when he retires, he'd be awesome at it.
College football,
I'm going to go with a coach because I would love to see – I think Lane Kiffin would be an awesome
– Yes.
Analyst. Yeah, he'd be good. Yeah.
I just think he – in NBA, I just don't know. You know, I haven't watched the NBA since the days of Jordan and Bird and all them guys, but – I just don't know. I really don't there, but, you know, and then why is Jared so freaking rude? That's what I want to know. He is the rudest person I've ever met in my life. I don't know.
You ever met Kenny the Mailman? He's pretty rude.
Kenny's old. You got to give Kenny some credit. Kenny's old, retired postman and everything. You got to give Kenny some slack. But anyway, guys, I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thank you, Robert.
Love y'all. Thank y'all so much. Joe, you are the bomb, dude.
Thank you, brother.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Kiffin's great.
Kiffin would be good.
Fantastic one.
Kiffin would be really good. All right, so here is our question of the day that we started the show with. We talked about it with Brett Kern when he was in studio. What rookie franchise quarterback record does Cam Ward have the best chance to break. Somebody texted in and said Peyton Manning. I'm talking about just the Oilers Titans franchise, not NFL, just the franchise. 3,338 passing yards. Do you know who holds that?
Hold on.
And this is Oilers and Titans.
Rookie.
Yes, in a rookie year.
Pastorini?
No.
I don't know.
Warnman.
Okay.
19 passing touchdowns.
Warnman.
Mariota.
Ah!
371 passing yards in a game.
Warnman.
Mariota.
Hey, come.
At New Orleans, right after Wisenhunt got fired.
That's right.
4 passing touchdowns in a game held by 2 people.
Warnman.
Levis and Mariota. Mariota did it twice in his rookie year.
Okay.
The opener against Tampa and then at New Orleans.
Wow.
How about that? And then 62.2 completion percentage.
Warnman.
Mariota.
What's the interception record?
I knew you were going to ask that. I got to look that up. Because that could very well be.
Yeah. It's a record.
Right.
I think I'd rather answer this question after the schedule release.
Oh, okay.
You know,
kind of see how it breaks down.
Because if like the first 5 games, if 3 are at home and 3 are against the AFC South or teams that aren't very good, then I'm going passing yards in a season.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll discuss this more.
All right.
Coming up next. And I'll look up the interception record. It's Chase and Big Joe, 615-737-1025. Here on this Monday, we're on until 3 o'clock today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Monday. A little bit later today. When was Warren Moon's rookie year?
Was it 84?
Because I'm trying to find this interception record by a rookie.
Just call him up. You got his number.
And I'm having a hard time finding it. I think it's Dan Pastorini, but I'm trying to confirm that that's true. Again, just franchise.
Okay.
So that's what I'm looking for. But I'll keep scouring. How about that?
You do that.
Tim Corbin going to join us here in a few minutes at 2 o'clock. Big series win over the weekend for the Commodores against the Base Vols. So we will talk to him about that. But our question of the day, which franchise rookie quarterback record does Cam Ward have the best chance to break? I saw this over the weekend on Twitter. And I've just put these 5 into the question. Passing yards for the season, 3,338 held by Warren Moon. 19 passing touchdowns held by Marcus Mariota. 371 passing yards in a game, also held by Mariota. 4 passing touchdowns in a game held by Levis and Mariota. And then a 62.2 completion percentage held by Mariota.
Was that Levis? Was that his first game versus the Falcons?
Yep.
Boy, that went to hell after that, huh?
Yeah, it did not go well.
I will give you a question, though, Chase, on that. What rookie quarterback won more? How many games did this rookie quarterback win that's number one all time? This rookie quarterback won this amount of games his first year. It's the record.
Roethlisberger?
Look at you.
Well, somebody brought Roethlisberger up earlier of like 14 wins or something.
13,
Or 13, so I had to figure that was it.
No, sir. You always give credit to yourself. So, again, the schedule to me determines what Cam Ward's going to do. He's going to start, he's going to play. If their first 5 games, they're sitting there at 3-2 and he's doing lights out, man, then he's going to break every record. He has to.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my thing. I think the touchdowns, he could hit 20. And then the completion percentage. I mean, there's definitely a chance that he could do that. So I do believe Pastorini is correct for the franchise because in 1971, his rookie year, he threw 21.
Okay.
So I'm double checking a few, but I think that might be.
That is confirmed by Connor Newt.
That is correct.
By Connor Newt.
It is Dan Pastorini. Now, I believe the overall franchise record for interceptions is George Blanda in 1962 with 42.
Good. How many?
42.
Good Lord. But you got to give him credit, though. He was 80 when he was playing then, so he probably had bad eyesight.
He was 35. He was 35 years old.
Well, there's that great picture of Ken Stabler at 37 and Brady at 37. And it's like, you know, Stabler's got a beer belly. He can barely breathe, sweat everywhere. And, of course, Brady looks like he just came off a GQ model shoot. And you tell back and forth.
That was a good pause there.
What they look like, right?
You knew exactly what you were doing there.
So it was like night and day between those two guys.
Well, you probably did come. Yeah, anyway.
Good Lord. What in the world?
Moving on.
He said, hold on, it was too late.
But it was too late. Yeah. Don't look, Ethel.
Don't look, Ethel. But it was too late.
That's what she said.
Yeah. You scrambled just to get that, didn't you?
I did.
Is this our Clay?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
Clay wants to answer our question of the day. Hello, Clay.
Boys, good afternoon.
Thank you for tuning in late to hear us.
I heard from a VU friend of mine, you know, Vanderbilt fans are pretty happy right now.
They're feeling good. Your coach is on in about 7 minutes.
I can't wait. I heard from a VU friend of mine that this show was going to be from 12 to 3, and I thought, well, I'm going to call in, but I have a bone to pick with Big Joe, if I may.
Okay, go ahead.
Get it.
Texted you twice, pal, about knowing when the show was, and I call in, all that, no response.
Well, Monday is the day that I volunteer, so I'm sorry I didn't have – I can get back with you.
He was busy at the Waffle College.
Chase, would you like to be my new best friend from this show?
No.
Oh, yes. He really means yes,
Clay. I love you, Clay.
By the way, if I could just, you know, talk about the series a little bit.
Go ahead.
Get ready to come on. You know, Tennessee's pitcher Friday was lights out. I think the guy, I heard he transferred, I think, from Ole Miss. And, you know, during the broadcast, I think they said, or somebody said, you know, he's one of the best pitchers in the country, and we couldn't do anything with him. And then they, you know, took him out of the game, and, you know, we did touch through two, but couldn't tie it up in the ninth. But Saturday and Sunday, I saw a different Vanderbilt baseball team. And I don't know if that's anything Corbs did. You know, obviously Tennessee's pitching, maybe not quite as good after that guy, but, you know, they stole bases. So the game plan was obviously aggressive. Steal bases, get ahead early. That's what we did, you know, both games. And then the driving of the baseball, whether it be to the gaps or whether it be home runs. I mean, Vanderbilt hit 4 home runs yesterday. I mean, that's, you know, this has not been a home run hitting team. So that's all pretty exciting to me because, in my opinion, if they now, with this big series win, if they just win the Kentucky series, I think they're going to be a top 8 national seed and play at the Hawk all the way to Omaha.
Yeah, I think so too. Clay, we got to run on that, but thanks for the call.
See you.
I was watching that game Friday. I thought they had a pretty good chance to win Friday too. I mean, he was right about Doyle pitching. I mean, he was definitely the difference for Tennessee, but when he came out of the game, I mean, they had an opportunity to certainly get back in, and they got 2 runs. They just couldn't get that third one.
And I want to ask Coach, what's the pressure like when you lose that first game?
Right. Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, my God, I can't lose this. I can't lose it. Because I think that's even tougher when you got to go back. You're down 0-1.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So we'll get Tim Corbin's thoughts on the series as Vandy picks up a big series win against arch rival Tennessee. Corbs will join the show coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe. We're live in the afternoon, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.